Thank you, Mr. Salerno. I'm not sure if Mr. Bellavance will accept that, or whether it's such a big change, we would have to just take a separate motion.
Or an amendment.
Or an amendment. Why don't you think about that, Dan? Ms. Etri?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, great. So similar to Dan, I can't support this motion. I do agree, and I fear that the council at times has become very myopic in its management measures and focused solely on cost at the expense of some other stocks. We're going to have a robust discussion about that tomorrow. There are other alternatives. I agree with Dan. Alternative 4 is more comfortable for me than this alternative. I do appreciate and do agree that designating an HAPC is important in this area, so particular concern can be given when developers are considering siting and going through the permitting process. But I think we can't lose sight of the fact that as a council, we are responsible for more than just the COD stocks. So I can't support this motion as written. I may consider an alternative motion if one comes forward, but as written, I can't support this alternative. I think it's too myopic in its viewpoint in light of the wind development that's occurring in the area and all the other stocks that we manage that are critically important to many within the fishery. Thank you.
Ms. Braun.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Although I understand what the previous two commenters are saying, I actually support the motion, and I think option number 4 is so broad as to be essentially meaningless. If you're identifying an area of particular concern and it's this enormous area, I don't think it's going to have much impact. So I support this motion.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else from the council? Mr. Salerno, what do you want to do?
I would like to put a motion to amend that the council select on alternative 3 and alternative 4 and as the preferred, selects alternative 3 and alternative 4 for the framework.
As a preferred alternative.
As the preferred alternatives, yes, sorry.
Okay. Okay, we have a motion from Mr. Salerno. It needs a second. Anybody willing to second this motion? Mr. Pappalardo, I did see your hand up. Was that to second this motion, or did you have a comment?
It was for a comment prior to the motion to amend, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, well, at this point, I don't have a second. Second. Okay, the motion is seconded by Mr. Smith. You want to supply some rationale additionally to what you've already said?
I think what I've said already is sufficient. That I think most alternative 4 is a more encompassing coverage of the area, and it covers more species that are species of concern for the southern New England area.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Smith?
Yeah, I'd just add that in looking at the areas encompassed in the hatched area in alternative 3 and the red area in alternative 4, they look pretty similar to me. They're 4 might be a little bit broader, but on the other hand, I think alternative 4 is capturing more species than just cod. And I think that nothing in this would prevent us from continuing to focus on cod and doing additional research on cod spawning, but that we're encompassing species beyond that, which I understand the interest in doing that as well. So that's why I seconded it.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Pappalardo.
I have no comment at this time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So now we have a motion to amend. Any discussion from members of the council on the motion to amend? Mr. Pierdnock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I like the amended motion for the same reasons that Dan and Jeff stated. I am concerned about the climatic shift of our stocks, and this encompasses that area where we could assess those impacts and then implement protections accordingly or address it accordingly. One question I do have, as noted in that alternative three with the negatives and positive discussion, getting back to that additional work would be conducted or surveys. If that's conducted and you're with alternative three and not four, would that change the limits of the delineations if the results indicate such, where four encompasses everything in the event that would occur? Lastly, I mean, maybe I'm dating myself, but I used to go fishing out of Montauk back in the early 80s, and I just know where the fish used to be, and I thought we based this on history as well as recent, and then even most recent with climatic shifts of the stock, that's difficult, but I'd be curious of what the response is. Thank you.
Thanks. I don't know how directly I'm going to address your exact question, but obviously the focus, the red area in particular, that's part of alternative three is based on very recent data, you know, where the cod are using that area. But I think in general, you know, whatever long history of data our EFH designations are based on that provide the hook for EFH consultation, I think the Fishery Service is using the most up-to-date information they have to inform their conservation recommendations. So, you know, even though our EFH designations stay the same for many, many years, in some cases, perhaps longer than they should be, you know, the consultation process evolves to reflect the most recent data. And I think, you know, the recommendations are, you know, I think the preference is to make recommendations based on, you know, areas that are currently being used, if at all possible. And so, you know, I think even with, you know, designating this now, and even though it's quite general, the actual project specific conversations that are happening and recommendations that are being made are going to be based on more recent data than what underpins our EFH designation. So certainly going forward longer term, as we medium term, maybe as we sort of tighten up our EFH designations and make them more kind of current and potentially future looking, then we can, you know, the HAPC designation might change to reflect that. But I think, you know, the consults are still based on current data.
Dr. Sisson-Wine and then Ms. Ware.
Yes, thank you. I have to say I'm apprehensive about the amendment as well as the underlying motion. I mean, in two specific points. One is that I do think this is very much a reaction to wind energy development, and I have to agree with Drew's comment that I don't think it's actually going to serve very much of a purpose there, whether we like it or not. Beyond that, I'm recalling back when the law was amended to include provisions to protect essential fish habitat. And when there was no mention of habitat of particular concern, what happened was we found out that everything was essential. So the agency basically had to invent a category that was more exclusive to make it meaningful, which became habitat of particular concern. And so I fear that at some stage we go down the street of making that so broad that we end up having to invent another term as well, or a third term. So bottom line is I'm pretty apprehensive about this action in its entirety. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Doctor. Ms. Ware and then Ms. Griffin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I think I'm going to speak to the underlying motion here. I am a little concerned about the future part of Alternative 3, but in comparing Alternative 3 and 4, I'm struggling with just how broad Alternative 4 is. And I'm going back to kind of the intro that Michelle gave us, that essential or habitat areas of particular concern are a subset of EFH, and that they're supposed to focus on or emphasize areas of importance, including specific locations or habitat features. And I think Alternative 3 does a better job of that.
Thank you. Ms. Griffin, and then Ms. Eitri.
Thank you. I'm not really going to say anything new here, but just, you know, I appreciate wanting to broaden to other species, but I share some of the other speakers' concerns about the breadth of alternative four, you know, in keeping with an HAPC designation as something more refined than just EFH, I am looking through that lens at these alternatives, and so I'm less supportive of alternative four without some refinement that better reflects that focused nature of an HAPC.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Eitri.
Thank you. I'm overarchingly struggling with both. I obviously am not supporting the underlying motion, but I'm equally struggling with the motion to amend because, well, I do believe that there is value in identifying HAPC. I think that there is value in having that additional discussion during wind development. I can't ignore the fact that the speakers from the audience are correct that this is happening so quickly. And I think that it's happening in a manner that is somewhat confusing to the point where I am not entirely clear where we are creating a benefit in the wind discussion and where we are, to be blunt, shooting ourselves in the foot when it comes to the fisheries discussion in the future. So I am struggling because I feel as if we do need to be more mindful of all the species. So in that respect, 4A is more appropriate to me than just calling out alternative 3 and focusing on cod yet again. But just overarchingly, while I have the mic and acknowledging it's now 6:30, I do sadly think that it is more appropriate for us to take a pause, have this back at the committee, have a little bit of a discussion, and maybe think about and talk about this in June, because I am concerned that we are shooting ourselves in the foot and we haven't even seen it yet. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else from the council to either the motion to amend or the underlying motion? Anybody from the public? Captain McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chris McGuire, the Nature Conservancy. Just a question about the amendment. If that were to pass, would that result in the creation of two HAPCs, one focused on spawning cod in the winter and another focused on all the other species? That seems like how I read it.
I think, you know, based on my thinking to date, how we would write up two separate HAPC designations, recognizing that, you know, more specific, where we can be more specific is helpful. So I would write it up as two different designations with two different sets of boundaries.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Penney, then I'll go to you, Drew.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I've been listening to all the comments, and I think there's been a lot of good comments on all sides. And I think the one that's resonating with me the most is actually the last thing that Libby Eitri just said, which is, you know, a suggestion that we delay further action on this until June. Because I think what I've heard a lot of today is uncertainty about what this actually means and how it would actually, you know, what it would actually mean on the street in terms of how we would implement this. And, you know, my concern with, I think there's some value to alternative 3 in the sense of, you know, it addresses some of the concerns we heard about it. Well, how do we adapt these designations to changing conditions as a result of climate change? Well, you know, if you've created a sort of umbrella HAPC designation for spawning cod, as you get information that cod spawning activity is, say, moving or expanding, you can adapt the HAPC designation in the consultation process to reflect that information, although I acknowledge that there's not a lot of specificity in terms of the criteria that would be used to do that. I have a slight concern with alternative 4 in, and this was already said, that it's overly broad. And I think, you know, in terms of how this works in a consultation process, when we're looking at a specific project, the value in a narrowly or tightly defined HAPC designation is to allow us to say here, not here, because here is, you know, here is an HAPC and here are the specific criteria but when the entire area is an HAPC, it makes it harder for us to get into the subtle differences between this particular place and this other one that's right next to it, because they're all HAPC. And so I think that has the potential to, you know, undermine, I think, what the council's trying to do here today by creating something that's overly broad. So, you know, maybe what we need to do is just take a pause and have give the committee the opportunity to reflect on the analysis that the PDT has done. Think about how it can refine these designations a bit to serve the intended purpose and provide a little bit more specificity around how alternative three would adapt to new information, and how alternative four, if that's still on the table, could be utilized in a meaningful way to accomplish what the council's trying to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Penney. Ms. Etree.
Hi, thank you. With that, I'd like to make a motion to postpone to a time certain, with a time certain being the June council meeting, the June 2022 council meeting.
It's postponed, not table, I believe.
Yeah, so motion to postpone until the June 2022 council meeting in Maine.
Okay. All right. I got it. Okay. So Ms. Etree's moved to postpone to a time certain, I guess, further discussion on the HAPC framework. That's what it should say. So I need, it's a, not a committee motion. It needs a second. Does anybody want to second this? I got about five hands. Dr. Sissonwein. You going to second it?
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. There's too many hands up. I can't figure it out. So,
shall I ask a question?
Well, what I want to make sure now is we're going to limit debate on this. So I just want to make sure that everybody understands what this motion says. And I don't know if Ms. Bachman, if you have a question or not, but I mean, it's a pretty straightforward motion. If this were to pass, we would end the discussion today, and then we would probably have a committee, probably have an AP. We would develop the action further and address it for final action in June. I think that is correct. And so, Michelle?
Yeah, thank you. And I think we'd want to get right on finding some times to have those conversations. I kind of want to manage expectations slightly. I think, especially for alternative four, refinement would be useful here. So I guess if after this, you know, if this motion passes, any guidance the council could provide on ways they would recommend seeing it refined, or if they want to leave that to the PDT's discretion to work through. And then I guess I would just also caution that I think we can probably do a much better job of being conceptually refined about the habitat, characteristic species, features that we think are important, but in a lot of cases, we don't really have the data to map those features with a high degree of spatial precision. So I think we may end up with still quite a broad footprint of a designation, but you know, some more nuance about how and when it would be applied. So I think just so people know what we would come back with, I think it would look something like that.
Okay, thank you, Michelle. So what I'm gonna do is Mr. Minkiewicz, do you have a question about the motion to postpone?
Not a question so much. I was going to comment on the underlying motion, but obviously we're moving beyond that. But I would just throw in a request that the AP be able to meet prior to the next council meeting in June to be able to discuss this. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So I have anybody else in the public that needs clarification on what we're doing? Okay, Dr. Sissonwein, and then Jeff Smith.
Yeah, I'm also looking for clarification. I'm assuming, or I'm interpreting, that the motion to postpone applies to both the Mr. Salerno's amendment to the underlying motion and the underlying motion. Would be alive until the next, the date certain. If that's correct, then I'm happy with where we are. Thank you.
This question is as well to the next session.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay, good.
Okay, so Mr. Smith and then Mr. Hughes. That's it. I have. That's all.
Yeah. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I just want to understand from a process perspective, if we were to vote up the motion to postpone till a time certain, how would I'm curious how the tasking would go for the PDT, so we understand what we will, what additional information we'll have before us to make decisions in June that we don't have now. So hopefully we can have that conversation. I seconded Dan's motion because I wanted to hear the conversation amongst council members on it. I support the idea of an HAPC that is focused on spawning cod, but I also felt like that was too narrowly focused. That's why I was wanting to hear a discussion on alternative four. At the same time, I get the comments that people were making that four is too broad, and if everything's an HAPC, nothing really is. So I hope what we are able to do, if this motion passes between now and June, is to get some more clarity on how a cod spawning area will be triggered under the alternative three approach, and also if there are ways we can refine down alternative four to make it a little more specific, and perhaps we could focus on juvenile habitat or spawning habitat for some of the other species considered there, because frankly I do think that offshore wind development will have impacts on species beyond cod. That's why I like alternative four, because I was looking beyond that, but I agree we need to be more specific than alternative four was. So I think I'll be supporting this motion to postpone and hope we can do a good job of tasking the PDT to bring us some additional information before June. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Hughes, and then I want to call a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So by voting this up, this is a procedural question. Does that, by doing this, does that like kind of de facto remove alternative two from the conversation, or all the alternatives still debatable moving forward at the AP and the committee level? Thank you.
As far as I'm concerned, alternative two has not been moved to considered but rejected. That's not this conversation. Right now we're debating two different motions, but I think that everything is still in play. Is that right? Okay, great. Okay. That's it. So let's try this. Is there any opposition on the motion to postpone to a time certain, June 2022, further discussion on this framework? Is there any opposition to that? Dr. Sisselwine, are you opposing?
No.
Okay. Okay. Is there any abstentions? Seeing none, motion passes by unanimous consent. Thank you very much. Okay, so with that, I'm assuming that between now and June, we will get the PDT roll on the committee, and Drew will get the AP going. So with that, we're going to talk about wind. Ms. Bachman.
Talk about wind some more. Yeah, if you could pull up the slides, that'd be great. Yes. Okay. Yeah, if it's easier, is it easier just to leave it in the PDF versus the PowerPoint? This is fine if you want to do it this way. Okay. So there's three different comment opportunities that we're actively working on responses to. The first is a NOAA BOEM survey mitigation sort of strategic approach. This has been developed jointly between the two agencies. The comment period closes on May 6th. You have the draft survey mitigation strategy document in the binders. Specifically, NIMFS and BOEM are looking for information on sort of the implementation, including the timeline of the strategy. They have some detailed goals, objectives, and action items that are outlined. There's a section of the strategy that highlights partner and stakeholder engagement. And the councils are called out there. So providing some feedback on how we would see ourselves being involved, I think, could be helpful. There's also some discussion about different communication and outreach approaches, and we have some comments there about ideas for what to communicate and websites and that sort of thing. And then sort of thinking, you know, related, I guess, to the timeline, thinking about current and possible future resources to implement the program as it goes forward, including funding. And so there's some attention in the draft strategy document to those sorts of issues. So if you can go to the next page. So in terms of our specific comments, one thing that we felt might be missing was that there are some NOAA-funded surveys like NEMAP that are not included in the strategy, and we weren't clear on if you know, effects on those surveys are being considered as well. We had some specific recommendations about different goals and objectives and actions that are outlined here. We had some recommendations as well about working with partners, perhaps including the council in different work groups, communicating sort of long-term efforts clearly, and then in terms of also communication and outreach, you know, explaining things like how changes in survey data might, you know, affect council relevant information, like for assessments and data sources like that. And, you know, providing both more detailed kind of technical outputs from this process, this kind of as a result of the strategy for you know, science users, and then providing some more general outputs as well, because obviously the issue of survey data and how they're generated and how they're used is quite complex. So we're going to, I think, continue working on this. There, just to kind of flag for folks, one of the things that we raised as an issue of concern is that we, you know, part of what's in the strategy is a mention about non-federal surveys, for example, developer surveys that might occur in these areas and how that could, you know, be used to augment federal data. We've heard some concerns about ability to get permits to conduct these surveys in terms of, you know, incidental taker harassment of protected species. And so there seemed to be a bit of a, you know, disconnect of us of, you know, reading that there was a goal to incorporate those data. But if you know, developers are struggling to be able to implement their surveys. And so kind of clarifying that, I'm not sure that we have the understanding or the details totally right in the letter as written, but we'll obviously get the right understanding before we submit the letter so we don't say anything that's off base with kind of the reality of how that process is going. But we did want to sort of highlight that we felt there was a bit of a disconnect on that issue. But if there's specific, you know, feedback on what we've got in here, things that you think that we've missed that we should also be addressing, then please let us know. I'm not sure that they're able to continue to be on this late in the evening, but certainly if there's specific comments about the strategy, I can take those back to our colleagues at NIMS and Boehm and get your response after the meeting.
Okay, any comment?
I guess, sorry, do you wanna go through all this or talk about letter by letter? Is that probably the easiest way to do this?
Well, we got three of them to talk about. You wanna do them one, let's just do them one at a time, see how it goes.
Okay.
Okay, so are there any questions, comments on this particular letter from anyone on the council? Seeing none. Maybe we can wait till the let's do them one at a time. Is there any opposition to the motion on the board? Well, actually, somebody has to make this motion and then we have to second it. Sorry, I'm not losing my mind. I'm just trying to think ahead. So anybody willing to make this motion? Ms. Etri, are you making this motion?
Yes, I'm making a motion.
Anybody seconding this motion? Ms. Ware, are you seconding the motion?
I am.
Okay, the motion reads that the council approves the comment letter to NOAA and Boehm regarding the draft federal survey mitigation implementation strategy. we have a motion on the board. Libby, do you want to provide any rationale?
I think that it is within the council's purview to be providing comment letters such as this to make sure that we are expressing our concerns about the impact of the habitat.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Ware?
Yeah.
I agree with what Libby said.
Okay, Dr. Siswine.
Yes, I'll support the letter because I think the staff have done a good job in preparing it. It's appropriate, but I do want to express that it concerns me that the reaction to this challenge of wind energy in terms of surveys tends to be, well, it's framed as mitigation, which essentially means how can we continue to do what we've been doing for 50 years? I think we ought to be thinking about this as an opportunity to really do things differently and better. And that means taking the opportunity to make investments in new technologies. And there are a whole bunch of potential ones out there. So I'm hopeful that the agency will do that as well. So thank you.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Siswine. Any other comments on the motion on the board? Seeing none, is there any opposition to the motion on the board? Any abstentions? One. Okay. Motion passes by consent with one abstention from Mr. Pentney. Ms. Bachman.
Thanks. If you just put back to the slides. Something else that I think many of you are probably aware of and some of you probably participated in is that the state of Maine is developing an offshore wind roadmap to sort of guide the development process, and that includes a bunch of different aspects of that process. There is a sort of fisheries and environmental science piece of it, but there's also a sort of strategic decisions and markets and other pieces, workforce. So they compiled their work group interim recommendations to date and put those out for a comment period through the end of this month. And so we developed some, specific comments that you can see on the slide and in the letter. In general, I think, when Jenny and I read the recommendations, we felt that they were broadly consistent with the types of findings that are in our policy. And so we suggested some, we had some specific questions on some specific areas we were looking maybe sort of for some clarification about kind of what the recommendations were doing. But in general, it's a fairly short letter and just, provides some support. It has a few specific comments. So if there's other things that folks would suggest adding, certainly we can do that.
Okay. Any questions, comments from anyone on the council? Mr. Salerno, then Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So reading through this and having peripherally participated in the work that the state of Maine has been doing, and reading this here, and obviously it's very Maine-centric, justifiably so, but one of the issues I have, and I think this is, I'm not sure if under your draft comments is when you reference bullet 9 here, but the bullet for recommendation number 9 under fisheries talks about prohibiting the construction of offshore wind turbines within X number of miles from the Maine coast. I would like a little more clarification on that. Obviously, if we're talking about, what are we talking about here? Are we pushing these things off into other regions? As a representative for working with New Hampshire fishermen, I think this would be a little bit of we wouldn't be too happy if these things are being pushed off into our region if, we're not getting anything out of it other than these are now in our region. So I would just like a little more clarification on that recommendation number 9 from the fisheries working group.
Ms. Bachman?
Sure. Sorry if the letter wasn't written clearly in that regard. I think that was kind of generally our takeaway, too, is that we would like some clarification. I don't know if there's specific plans to develop a distance recommendation or, there's more, the working group is going to continue to work. So I think it's obviously by them saying that they don't know what that distance is yet, that they're going to continue to work on that. I think we were just I think the point that we were trying to make here was that, you know, we weren't sure exactly what might underpin a distance recommendation, and so we would be looking for some clarification about, you know, which fisheries or which elements of fishing activity would be driving that. And, you know, obviously whatever the state chooses as a policy choice in their roadmap is, you know, works, that works for them is, you know, where they're going to go with it, but just looking for kind of some rationale, basically. So I think that's what we were trying to convey in the letter, and we can clean up how we've portrayed that. But we had, I think, the same question that you did.
Okay, yeah, I mean, if they plan on putting these things in the main state water, I guess, you know, no big deal. We don't care. But, you know, let's face it, the main research array is actually in federal waters. So if we're talking about federal waters, you know, it's a broader question. And I appreciate you if you can clean that question up a little bit. But thank you.
Mr. Smith.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm supportive of the council moving forward with this letter and supportive of the first bullet, which sort of highlights support of the draft recommendations coming out of the fisheries working group. One of the things that I've sort of observed in our discussion around offshore wind development down in southern New England right now is feels like we're playing some catch up on it. The leases have been done, the areas have been identified, and I think there's an opportunity to get ahead of that a little bit here up in the Gulf of Maine. So one of the things I was hoping we might be able to consider adding to this letter is there is recommendation for the Energy Markets and Strategies Working Group that talks about how we do our procurement process. And I think it would be helpful if the council's letter could highlight a recommendation that says when we're doing the procurement process, let's make sure to consider the recommendations of the Fisheries Working Group and the Environment and Wildlife Working Group, so we get that done ahead of time rather than trying to do it afterwards. So I have some language if you want it, or I can just have a discussion with Michelle about that, but I think it's important to try to do considerations of these recommendations earlier in the process, including at procurement, rather than waiting till the end of the process. So I'm not sure how you want to proceed on that, but that's something I'm hoping we could include in the letter.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if your fellow council members would agree with all those recommendations.
That they wouldn't agree with a recommendation to consider the recommendations from the fisheries working group and the procurement process?
Yeah, I mean, this is your suggestion. I'm not sure if everybody would agree with that. I mean,
okay. If I would like it included in the, for the council to consider it, including it in the letter, would I need to make a motion to do so?
Well, let me ask the question. Is anybody on the council have heartburn with Mr. Smith's request to perfect or amend this document? Mr. Salerno, is your hand still up?
Sorry, no.
Okay. I don't see any objection, so you're on good ground there.
Okay. So what should I do?
Wait, Eric?
Yes, Libby.
My hand's up. I'm sorry, I understand the intent behind it, but I also am concerned if there's different viewpoints regarding that. I know, and I'm not one of them, that a lot of folks are heavily engaged in the wind discussion and procurement and whatnot, and so I don't know if what's coming out of this working group is consistent with what others are saying. So if someone knows the answer to that, that's great. I just don't know off the top of my head. And I'm acknowledging it's 7 o'clock and I'm hungry, so my brain's not processing as fast as it usually does. Sorry.
Does anybody have any clarification for Libby?
I'm looking at the first bullet on the thing up there, which is what we're going to include in our in the letter that the council is drafting. So apparently, I don't know if we're going to say that.
Ms. Bachman?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I guess to to Ms. Idrie's question, I don't have a comprehensive handle on what states include in their procurement processes. I mean, there's certainly states that include like environmental monitoring and other types of goals and objectives in procurement. So I think we would just be saying here, as Mr. Slick was suggesting, that, you know, during procurement, consider these, you know, fisheries and fishery species and fishery values and that. So, I mean, I think that's a pretty straightforward comment. You know, whether that's already happening, to Ms. Itri's point, I don't have a good handle on. I'm not aware of it, but that doesn't mean that it's not occurring, because I haven't really read these procurement solicitations in a lot of detail. I've just more paid attention to the results.
Mr. Nice.
So if I might ask a question, what were the two working groups you talked about, the Fisheries Working Group and the Energy Markets and Strategies Working Group?
So it's the Fisheries Working Group and the Environment and Wildlife Working Group. And all I'm saying, what we're having, we've been paying attention to this in Maine. What's happening is we have four working groups that are kind of working in silos and coming up with their own stuff on their recommendations. One of the recommendations on the energy group is to do a procurement process. All I'm trying to suggest that we might say in the council's letter is, when you're doing your procurements, consider the recommendations that the fisheries working group made. I'm not saying what they are. All I was suggesting is that you consider them early in the process rather than later on in the process when it's harder to address them, which is kind of what I feel like we're dealing with in the southern New England areas now. So I just think it makes sense to consider those recommendations earlier rather than later. So that's all I was trying to get at with the comment.
Okay, so what you're suggesting that they also look at a recommendation from another group, yeah, as opposed to trying to make policy. Okay. All right, so I have Ms. Braun and then Mr. Tracy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm a little confused as to why this is even being debated. It seems like a pretty basic thing that, you know, that don't wait till the cow is out of the barn or whatever. This is a comment that we would be making to the offshore wind roadmap document folks, and it's not like we're forcing them to do it. So I think what Jeff is suggesting is a good idea, and I don't see why we wouldn't do it.
Mr. Tracy.
Yeah, just really quickly, Mr. Chairman, I'm a little unclear on the process of adopting these letters. It seems like the option is, do we adopt them whole cloth, or I don't know what else. I certainly support what Jeff's offering, but I think the deeper question is, why can't it be proposed and then voted on or debated and included or not? I mean, I guess that's, I'm a little confused, but I absolutely want to support. I mean, I think it's a great, it's a pretty simple clarification, and but like I say, I'm a little unclear on what we're doing with these letters in general, but thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Go ahead, Mr. Smith.
So I understand it's late in the day. I don't want to belabor this any more than we already have. Earlier today, I sent some proposed language to Michelle and to Joan. Rather than me having a hard time articulating what it is, I had a suggested thing that we included in our letter. Maybe we can put it up on the screen. People can look at it, and if anybody has heartburn over it or doesn't want us to include it in the letter, we'll put it to bed and we'll move on. If people are okay with it, we can include it in the letter and we can move on. But I don't feel a need to belabor this. I just thought it made sense.
Mr. Nice.
So just for reference, if you're wondering what these recommendations are, they're on page 36 of document 7 in the Habitat folder. That's where they start.
Okay,
and to be clear, the recommendation already says establish and initiate a floating offshore wind requirements and procurement process, period. And so what I'm just trying to suggest is they expand that to do the things that the recommendations from the Environment and Wildlife Working Group and the Fisheries Working Group are trying to achieve. So it would be in addition to stopping at the procurement process.
Okay, so we see Mr. Smith's recommendations. I mean, Ms. Braun, the reason we talk about this is because these are letters from the council, and we want to make sure that the council, all the council members, have a reason, have an ability to weigh in on what the council says. And I think that goes also to you, Mr. Tracy, as well. So we see Mr. Smith's recommendations. Does anybody have any heartburn over this recommendation being included in the draft letter? Mr. Pierdnock?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No heartburn, but just a question where it says measures to avoid and minimize. From a regulatory standpoint or from a council standpoint, is that the appropriate language there? Does that need to be changed and be more specific to what we can manage and what we're trying to do with this letter? I'm just not sure if it's too general and falls under the purview of the council.
I think general is good in this case, to be honest with you. I mean, I'll stay here till 9:30 tonight if you want to talk about it, but in my mind, you know, wind is a big thing. Being specific will bite you in something. That's the way I see it. It's just me. So if anybody has a different opinion, go ahead, Peter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To Mr. Pierdnock's point, the terminology in a lot of these proceedings usually is avoid, minimize, and then mitigate if required. So I'm only raising that for any attorneys in the room that may want to speak to that, since one of those key elements is missing from this particular statement. Thank you.
Put it in. Yes or no? You want to get in? Okay. Okay. Are you done?
I'm good. I don't want to stay here till 9, 10 o'clock. I'm good. Thank you.
Why? Where are you going? You're only going upstairs, you know? Okay. Sorry. Any further comment on this particular letter, and which would include the recommendation by Mr. Smith? Does anybody have a problem with that? Mr. Tracy, Mr. Pierdnock, you both have your hands up, but I'm assuming you have no problems. Okay, I see no problems. So, somebody want to make this motion? And it would include as amended today. Okay, motion by Mr. Smith. Seconded by Mr. Tracy, thank you. Any discussion on the motion? Any opposition to the motion? Any abstentions? Ms. Ware?
I will be abstaining, yes, thank you.
Okay, motion passes by consent with one abstention by Ms. Ware. Ms. Bachman.
Thank you. So the last letter that we've been working on, I assume folks have seen the notice for the port access route study for the approaches to Maine, New Hampshire, and Massachusetts. Obviously, there have been a number of different port access route studies throughout the region in past years. These are, you know, broad, and they look at multiple factors that could affect navigation and sort of safety on the water. In the coming years, offshore development and offshore wind development being one issue, but certainly any, you know, changes in patterns of vessel traffic would be included in the study. So one of the things I think that a point we wanted to make about the study was that we see that there is a kind of intersection between this study and the recommendations that come out of this work in terms of, you know, what would promote safety of, you know, vessel use of the ocean and movement of vessels with respect to offshore wind. And this obviously kind of dovetails with the process of developing requests for information areas and then wind energy areas and then potentially lease areas in the Gulf of Maine, which is going to be unfolding through the task force. And so, you know, thinking about, I think those processes should be closely aligned and kind of work back and forth with each other. So I think that would be a comment we would certainly be making. And then we have some other comments. You know, we were building on the letter we wrote for the Mass Rhode Island Port Access Route Study a couple years ago. My memory on the date is hazy. but about, you know, what fisheries data to use, focusing on multiple sources, not just AIS data, recognizing, you know, other uses, not fishing, but just also fishery surveys as a use. And then, you know, kind of just fleshing out some of the things that we would hope that the PAR study would look at. But, you know, we have kind of the most time on this letter of all of them, so I'm certainly happy to take any additional feedback over time about how we can refine this letter to make it more effective. And then, obviously, I think people are aware of this is kind of the scoping opportunity for the PAR study. There will be a draft PAR study that will be released. I don't totally know the timing of that. I can find out. And in the past, we have been at times commented on the results of those studies, which have more specific recommendations about what would promote navigational safety or routing measures and such that the Coast Guard can enact.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Bachman. I'll start. I'm going to make sure that they address cumulative impacts of offshore development of any kind, because they did not do that in the Vineyard Wind. They did not consider that in Southern New England when they did the Massachusetts Rhode Island PARs, and I didn't think that was fair. So that would be my comment. Anybody else from the council? Okay. In that case, we need a motion to comment. Is anybody willing to make this motion? Ms. Patterson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I'd like to move that the council approves the comment letter to the U.S. Coast Guard regarding Maine, New Hampshire, and Massachusetts port access route study, PARs, with the amended language added.
Thank you, Ms. Patterson. Ms. Etri, are you seconding the motion?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, any discussion on the motion? Anyone from the council? Seeing none, any opposition to the motion? Any abstentions? Motion passes by unanimous consent. Ms. Bachman.
Thank you. I have nothing else about letters. I guess just the one quick point I would make. I'm sure many of you got this notice from BOEM, but they did announce formally the Gulf of Maine Task Force meeting date, which is obviously relevant to a couple of the things we've just been talking about for May 19th. The staff will participate in that. The council is not a task force member, but will provide input to the process consistent with the offshore wind policy, and I look forward to that meeting. So it is a webinar only, so should be fairly accessible to folks, and the registration link has been published if people wanted to join. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Bachman. Any other business for Habitat today? Seeing none, thank you very much for your patience and your participation, not precipitation, I suppose. And we'll see you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Thank you.